A word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we listen, may our hearts be lifted up. May our lives be inspired. May our faith grow, that we might be yours and do your will. Amen. Thank goodness Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me," because the history of childhood is a mixed bag. In a church I served some time ago, three little boys, young boys, began coming to Sunday school and worship. They were kids from the neighborhood who had decided to investigate this church on the corner. They came by themselves, and they were a handful. At about ages 6, 8, and 10, they were full of curiosity and rambunctiousness. They couldn't sit still. They had a hard time paying attention, and mischief was their middle name. So pretty soon there were some rumblings in the congregation, and justifiably so. Why didn't they behave? Why didn't they behave? Because they were too hungry. So hungry that their behavior matched their restless stomachs. When we served them breakfast, lo and behold, they settled down and were happy. Thank goodness Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Without that regard for children, think what the world would be like. Scholar and psychologist Lloyd de Mossey has written an oft-quoted book called The Evolution of Childhood. He called childhood a nightmare from which society has only begun to awaken. As one example, he cited a law from the time of Jesus. In that world, the Roman world, it was legal for a father to simply abandon his child to the elements if he did not want to raise it. Thank goodness Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." By the 14th century, some Christians had at least in part gotten that right. Gone was the rule that children were not to be seen and not heard. In fact, a clergyman, the Reverend John Merck, preached a famous sermon from which a new catchphrase emerged. He sermonized that children could be seen, but not heard. Actually, what he said was that young maidens could be seen and not heard. Never let talk about a woman's lot in life as only becoming wives and mothers be lifted up in civilized conversation. Thank goodness Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." We've come a long way, baby. My mom and dad had the expertise of Dr. Spock. I had Dr. Seuss. Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil are popular today, and parenting specialties have emerged. Did you know that? One can be a helicopter parent today, or a lawnmower parent, a tiger parent, or a no-rescue parent, a granola parent, or a free-range parent, and with the recent college admission bribery cases, even a scholarship gate parent. And if you need some help with that, ask anyone who's under 35, and they'll explain all of those titles to you. Perhaps, though, the happiest description is with a little story about a mom and her daughter. A daughter who was trying out a new jump rope she had received. The little girl was making really good progress, and her mom clapped with her at each success. Then a neighbor came by, and she and the mom began talking. Soon, though, her daughter was tugging at her coat. She was sadly dragging her jump rope behind her She said, "Mommy, I can do it, almost, but I still need lots of clapping." Thank goodness Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." But what is this kingdom of heaven anyway? Why did Jesus say that children typify those who belong there? Those scriptures are among our timeless favorites, but what do they really signify? Especially since the history of childhood is a mixed bag. Back when most people lived only into their 30s, there was little time to be a child and lots of reason to grow up quick, especially to be able to pull your own weight. But there's one beautiful metaphor about childhood in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's that special passage that Pat read from Zechariah. Words written at least 500 years or so before Jesus' age. It was during the years of Jewish exile away from Israel while they were refugees in Babylon. Zechariah's prophecy was that sometime in the age to come, people would be able to go home to their homes. Israel would be restored. Jerusalem would be rebuilt. The people would have security and peace and well-being finally. And he wrote in description, "Old men and women shall again be able to sit in the streets of Jerusalem, and in those same streets the city will be full of children, boys and girls at play." But despite that hope, history shows that the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans in Jesus' time kept the nation in captivity. But the image of elders sitting in peace on the street corners while boys and girls were happily and safely at play persisted. It remained a hope. But for ages to come, sometime in that day, when God's rule finally prevailed. That's what people heard when Jesus took the child on his lap and said, "It is for such as these that the kingdom of heaven is coming." And he was painting an image of what that sometime, once upon a time, when God would really reign, could be like. But that is not all. He was equally saying and declaring that the most vulnerable, the old, the young, would be free to play and to be at peace, because that was God's intent for life. I'm going to get a little bit technical here. I hope you don't mind or I don't go astray very far. But in terms of understanding the Gospels, only the Gospel of Matthew quotes Jesus as calling this hope for times to come the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful phrase, the kingdom of heaven, but it's also confusing. Because in the Gospels of Mark and Luke, Jesus' words in the same stories, the same sayings are translated that he's talking about the kingdom of God. "Let the children come, because it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Well, what difference does that little word puzzle variation make? Well, it has made a lot of difference in history. Because it depends not only on if this kingdom or realm or possible way of life can happen, it depends on when and where. On earth as it is in heaven or not. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is quoted as saying that the kingdom of God can be within people as emerging and liberating and a caring reality that the people of God can bring into being and pursue even now. But throughout history, it has been the unreachable ideal of a kingdom of heaven that has been a synonym for the way life is lived, because that kingdom may not be reachable here, but only after death. A kingdom like heaven here and now, at best, is a mixed bag. And so it is that one of the most important theologians of all time was St. Augustine of Hippo, who lived in the 3rd century, and he tried to settle the question once and for all: the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? And his viewpoint is still prevalent. He declared that there was an indelible dividing line between the kingdom of heaven and the eternally down and dirty, sinful, real world in which we live. The kingdom of heaven he called the city of God. The other he called the city of man, our world, this reality program of ours, defined and damned by eternal sin, original sin. Only in the kingdom of heaven, not here, not now, but then, later, after death, can a child really play at peace. Well, I say, thank goodness Jesus, not St. Augustine, took a child in his lap and said something like, "Let the children come to me." And when you treat such as those with love and care, compassion and justice, it helps usher in God's Spirit into our real world today. The dividing line between heaven and earth is not like a wall that separates us as undesirables back here in the city of man. Because attitudes of compassion and love and nurture take it down. So much more is possible here, today, for us, through us, by us. Back in the 1850s, a woman by the name of Anna Warner wrote one of the most influential Christian novels we've never heard of. It's a fictionalized account called Say and Seal. Has anyone ever come across it? Ah, well, good. I can say whatever I want and you believe me. But I'll tell the truth, honestly. There's one scene, though, I think is familiar. It's when the hero of the story, a Sunday school teacher by the name of John Linden, visits one of his students, little Johnny Fay, a boy who was very sick. The story says that Johnny raised his weak little arms and Mr. Linden gently lifted him up and carried him around the room. The little one whispers, "Sing to me." And Linden searches his mind for something comforting to sing. All of a sudden, the right words come to him, and he sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." What a beautiful thought. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. But what has not been remembered are the original verses to the song. They went like this: "Jesus loves you, He who died so heaven's gates can open wide. He will wash away your sin. Let this little child to come in. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. Scores of Sunday schoolers for 100 years learned that song and its implications that only in the kingdom of heaven, after death, freed from sin, can even a child be liberated from that infernal and damned city of man and woman. But is that all there is? In these latter days, I say, why couldn't Mr. Linden, rather than settling just for heaven and a dead child, also have cried out for something better here on earth? For sanitary conditions in the home, for heat and light, for medicine to reduce the boy's fever and antibiotics to fight the infection. And what about food enough and water that's safe to drink, and an end to neglect or exploitation because Johnny was poor? Thank goodness Jesus said, let the children come to me, and called on folk who are disciples not to shoo them away, to be humble enough instead to really look at those who don't count for much in the world's eyes and realize their importance instead. Importance as much as our own. To be spiritual enough to care, to advocate, to do the right thing so that no one in our cities ends up being not seen and not heard. The true measure of a society is how it treats its most vulnerable members. Gandhi said that. But I believe Jesus declared it best by taking that child on his lap. Amen.